Welcome back to the second half of The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The Texas judiciary is an elected body. The judges raise money, and they often find themselves ruling on cases where the lawyers who have donated to them or the companies whose lawyers that they represent right there in front of the bench. Studies have shown that the more campaign contributions that business interests from the justices receive, the more likely they are to vote for a business litigant that appearing before them in court. Can judges be trusted to rule justly in a system that can pit them against their own donors? Joining them this half hour to discuss how Texas gets its judges through the election process, Joanna Shepherd Bailey. She's an Emory University law professor and the author of the study, Justice at Risk. Also, State Representative Justin Rodriguez, who sponsored a bill that's going to study this issue. And again, this half hour, former Chief Justice of the Texas Supreme Court, Wallace Jefferson. He continues with us. Also, we want to hear your phone calls, your questions, your comments. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. So let me ask you, first off, Representative Rodriguez, you had a bill in the last legislative session. It was passed. Looking at this issue, what does that bill do?
Right. Yeah. So first of all, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here with Chief Justice Jefferson. So HB 2772 that I sponsored on the House side subsequently was picked up on the Senate side by Senator Duncan out of Lubbock, a Republican. So it had good bipartisan support. I had kind of observed locally, particularly here in Bear County, how, you know, from 2006 to 2008 to 2010 to 2012, how, you know, there was tend to be a swing in, what tide was winning at the time, right? Whether it was a blue or a red tide, and how that impacted our local courthouses. So I certainly didn't want to come in as a freshman lawmaker and presuppose that I had the silver bullet, the idea that would cure it all. We put together a bill that essentially calls for an interim study. So over the next 14 months, a speaker will appoint 6 Democrats, 6 Republicans to study this issue, hopefully take testimony all over the state, and then come back with some findings for the 2015 session. And hopefully, you know, through those discussions, through that dialogue and testimony, we can come up with some hopefully better way to elect judges here in Texas, right? I don't know that there's a perfect way out there. You know, you look at other states, but certainly we can be doing things better here in Texas.
Professor Shepherd Bailey over at Emory University, let me ask you, you did the study Justice at Risk. What did you find?
Well, I've actually done several different studies looking at the relationship between campaign contributions to judges and then their subsequent decisions on the bench. And all of the studies have found that there is a correlation between these two measures. And so in general, the more money that judges get from various interest groups or political parties or various sources, they're more likely to vote in favor of litigants that are favored by those interests. And so we do find this link between money and votes in various kinds of studies.
Now, is that just a correlation or a causation? Is it because is that quid pro quo corruption, or is it because when you have interests that are able to pump money into a system, they're able to find judges that actually think like they do, and they are in a position to wield that authority?
Right. Well, definitely the second point that you just raised is certainly an important factor, and there's no disputing that. The more money that's given to various campaigns, the more likely those judges are to win. And in fact, numerous studies have found that in general, the biggest spender wins elections. And so part of it is certainly that wealthy interest groups are able to get like-minded judges on the bench. But then there's also several different ways to test whether the first pathway that you just discussed is also going on. And so that would be that judges are kind of in certain cases are voting one way or another, depending on what they think may help their chances both for re-election and also for getting future campaign contributions. And so, for example, some of the things that I have looked at is what happened in judges' last term. So most states have mandatory retirement ages, so you can actually see how judges are voting differently in that last term. And a lot of the effects, the relationship between money and votes, disappears in this last term. We also find that the relationship between money and voting increases as the judge's re-election approaches, suggesting that the linkage between money and votes is growing closer. Moreover, surveys with judges themselves indicate that this is going on. And so over 50% of judges say that the thought of future campaign contributions has at least some effect on the way they vote.
Mr. Chief Justice, when you were the Chief Justice, you had spoken about this, and you had some ideas. What is it that you think would be an effective measure to correct this?
I think we should adopt a program that Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, when she was in the state legislature, got passed in Arizona, and that is have a commission, a bipartisan commission. It doesn't even have to be comprised mostly of lawyers, public citizens, that evaluate applicants for judicial office and evaluate them according to objective measures. How many jury trials have you had? How many appeals have you argued? What do your peers think of you? What do judges have to say about your work in their courts? And based on those objective measures, have that commission give a list to the governor of highly qualified potential nominees. Have the governor nominate from that list and then have that person serve a term and then go before the voters for an up or down vote, not on a partisan basis, just on the question is, are you doing a good job and should we retain that judge in office? No, there's no perfect system, but I think that's about as good as you can get. It makes sure that merit is what brings the individual to the bench in the first instance. Studies have shown that in retention election states, although there increasingly is money spent on those elections, it is nowhere near the amount that is spent in states where the elections are partisan. And it gives the voters a chance to hold the judge accountable. I think that's about as good as it can be.
But, you know, Governor Rick Perry's been the governor for 13 years. He's had a lot of influence. If you have one governor who's been in so long, making so many appointments, as we've seen throughout the state in many agencies and areas, that, you know, you just kind of like wonder if that's a fair system also. You know, maybe at least when you have elections, you do have some of the people get to decide who is going to judge them. Mr. Chief Justice?
Well, I think in actuality, that's not how it works. In Texas, increasing numbers of voters vote straight ticket ballots. And so in 2008, last time I was on the ballot, I won not because I'm brilliant or great as chief or made reforms, but I won because I had an R by my name. And all the judges in Harris County in Houston that were Democrats won because President Obama won Harris County. And so you get these sweeps or you get these elections based not on your ability, but based on the happenstance that you are a Republican or Democrat in the right geographic area at the right time. So I just don't think that is a very rational way of picking judges.
Okay, we're going to continue this conversation. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. We're talking about how Texas picks its judges, and we do it at the election box. Do you think that's a fair way to do it? Give us a call. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. And we'll be right back after this quick break. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. In order for a lawyer to become a judge in Texas, they have to win an election. In order to win an election, you got to raise money. And when you raise money, that means you owe people favors. So does that process kind of corrupt justice in Texas? That's what we're talking about here on The Source this afternoon. The number to call to join the conversation is 614-8980, 614-8980. Joining the conversation to help us figure this out, we've got the former Chief Justice of Texas, the Supreme Court, Wallace Jefferson. He's now working as a litigator as a lawyer for Alexander DeBose and Townsend. Also, we've got State Representative Justin Rodriguez, a Democrat from San Antonio, and he's also my representative in Austin. And we had Joanna Shepherd Bailey, a Emory University law professor and author of many studies, including Justice at Risk. So let me ask you, Professor Shepherd Bailey, is there a consensus? What is the best way to figure out who should be a judge?
Well, I wouldn't say there's a consensus. I mean, certainly, as you just addressed, there's this kind of ongoing debate about, and in the academic literature, we talk about judicial independence versus accountability. And on one hand, accountability says that judges will be beholden in some sense to voters, much like politicians are. And some people actually think that's a good thing. I mean, we elect our legislatures, we elect our governors, our presidents, and so perhaps judges should be beholden to constituents in the same way. The more general way of thinking about it, or the more appropriate way of thinking about it in the academic literature, is that no, judges are different. They're not politicians. They're not there to keep the voters happy. They're there to uphold the law, and the law is very different oftentimes than what voters may want. And if you look back through history, a lot of time voters may have voted for something where it would be oppressive of minorities or something like that, but judges are there to uphold the law and make sure that doesn't happen. And so in general, the academics think that elections are not the right way to go about it, but I wouldn't say that there's any consensus even among academics.
So, Representative Rodriguez, we've seen the aggregate numbers and the breakdown in the studies, and they tell us obviously there's a problem. But is it broken? Do we have cases that show us that there is really a problem?
You know, I think that's arguable. I think if you ask folks at the courthouse, for example, you talk to lawyers here in Bexar County, they'll say, look, I think most of them will say, we don't care if it's a Republican or a Democratic judge, we want somebody who is competent, who can, have an impact on this case with a fair verdict, and also someone who has a good temperament. You know, those are, I think, the three things that I hear about most at the courthouse. And so, I don't know that it's necessarily a broken system, but I think that now is the best time to address moving forward, particularly when we're talking about, the swings that we've seen here in Bexar County. And there's a lot of talk, certainly here in San Antonio and other parts of the state, about turning Texas blue. So I even got, some pushback in the legislature from fellow Democrats about why would you bring this forward now? Well, to me, not just about money in the courthouse. It's about, the politics of it and trying to remove some of the partisan nature of the elections. And we've seen it here in Bexar County. We've seen it in other parts of the state. I think now is the best time to address this issue. You talk to folks who have been in the Capitol in Austin for decades, and they say, look, we've tried this before. For whatever reason, we didn't get any traction. There's quite a few new members in the House. We had 40 new colleagues of mine that were freshmen in the House out of 150. So I think that's changing. I think certainly I think folks' patience is wearing thin a little bit with all of the partisan bickering. In D.C., we work a lot better in Austin. But I think now is the best time that we take some measure to at least have the dialogue and discuss possible solutions. I'm very, hopeful that in 2015 we'll come back with some consensus on whether it's the plan that Justice Jefferson mentioned, which a lot of folks refer to as the Missouri plan that Arizona adopted. I think there's got to be a way we can take the politics out of it and make sure that judges are the most competent that we can elect beyond the R or the D by their name.
Mr. Chief Justice, you have been in that seat. You have been a judge, and you have had to campaign and raise money. And many people have looked at the track record of the Texas Supreme Court and have shown that it to be very pro-business. So did you feel a correlation? I mean, you were out there, you're raising money, running at TV ads.
No, I didn't feel a correlation. And let me just tell you practically how I did things. By the time a case came to the court's conference room where all the judges were discussing it, it typically involved memos between and among the judges about how they think the case ought to come out. And it was the analysis that drove the decision in the case. And by that time, we didn't even, the lawyers' names were not anywhere associated. We knew who the businesses were, but the discussion and the argument was about what does this contract mean? What does the statute say? What does our precedent require? And then even on this all-Republican Supreme Court, you had great disagreement about the outcomes. There were dissents from decisions that favored businesses and dissents from decisions that favored plaintiffs. We simply disagreed, and that's how I think it ought to be done. But I understand the public's distrust of the system because of the money that is spent and raised in judicial campaigns, which is a reason I support Representative Rodriguez's efforts to study this, and I support even further a reform of our current system. Take as much of the money out, take as much of the politics out, and make judging about the impartial administration of a reasonable system of justice.
But, Mr. Chief Justice, here we have the U.S. Supreme Court looking at taking off more restrictions from campaign donations, looking so that people could give as much money as they possibly want to, as many candidates as they want. So this situation could even become even more acute.
Well, if my system were adopted, there would be less money spent on a judicial retention campaign, and that's been demonstrated around the country. And whatever money is spent to defeat an incumbent judge, that money cannot be used to replace that judge with a new person, because you would have to go right back through the commission system with the merit selection and the appointment by the governor.
And so, Professor Shepherd Bailey, what about the public's perception? You know, you have to have the public trust in the judiciary for it to work. What do you think? This system, the reform, would increase public trust? Is there erosion of public trust as it is today?
Yeah, I think it certainly would. And in general, I mean, retention elections are found to be the least partisan, there's the least money, as was already mentioned, spent in those elections. And so to the extent the public is worried about this, and a lot of surveys show that the public is, I think retention elections would be a great way to reestablish trust in the judiciary.
And Representative Rodriguez, when you were pushing your bill through the halls of Austin, the pushback was from what?
Well, you know, I think generally speaking, there was pushback, a little bit of cynicism, really, because I think, you know, folks have you know, tried to move things, particularly Senator Duncan and I think Senator Ellis as well on the Senate side have, so I think there was a little bit of, you know, that cynical nature that could this be done, particularly by, you know, someone, you know, fresh into the scene. And that's why I opted for, instead of pushing something like Chief Justice Jefferson, a specific solution, well, let's talk about this in the interim and take a look at it in 2015. You know, I will tell you this, and you talk to folks in the community who actually go out and vote for these judicial elections time and time again, most of them don't know the candidates, right? I mean, they're voting because there's an R or a D by the name. And then, you know, on top of that, if you are a civil litigant, plaintiff or defendant here in Bexar County, and you go file your lawsuit, you don't, you know, forum shop. You don't pick who in the courthouse is going to hear that particular case. There's a presiding system that's, you know, those are vetted out almost on a random basis. So you could be appearing before a Republican or a Democrat on any, you know, given day. So I think all of those things lend to an argument that really justice should be blind. We need to figure out a better way to make sure that's happening in not just Bexar County, but courthouses all over the state of Texas.
So if Representative Rodriguez, if you did this, I mean, do you lump criminal judges and civil judges together? Why not do one over the other?
Sure. You know, the bill was pretty broad. And so initially it was appellate judges, district court judges. There was an amendment that was made in the committee to add county court judges as well. So that would be inclusive of both judges that hear criminal and civil court cases. You know, that may be something, David, that comes out of the interim study. You know, maybe there's a recommendation that we just look at one specific area. Maybe we look at changing appellate court judges. So nothing's set in stone at this point, but, you know, the conversation has to happen, and that's what I'm hoping, again, over the next 13 or 14 months, we can get there and at least make, if not a wholesale reform, as, you know, I think Chief Justice is mentioning, which is, I think, probably warranted, at least some incremental changes.
So, Professor Shepherd Bailey, do you think if for the people, you know, us, you know, me, you know, I'm part of the great unwashed, does he think it matters that we're more concerned about if I go to somehow drag before a judge for a criminal issue, that I want that judge to have been elected because I want him to have to answer to the people, but a civil judge who deals with these corporate cases should be appointed because they should be easily influenced by all that money flowing around?
Well, right. And obviously the money that's being spent is primarily in Texas. There's a lot of money from lawyers and lobbyists, and then business groups are another, like, large contributor. So civil cases are going to be the ones where we have where there's a lot more probability that, that money could be influencing outcomes. In general, there's not criminals giving money or prosecutors giving money, right, to influence those cases. So, yeah, I would agree with that.
All right. Well, I certainly want to thank you for joining us on this conversation. Joanna Shepherd Bailey, she is a university law professor at Emory University. She's author of many studies, including Justice at Risk. State Representative Justin Rodriguez, he had passed a bill in the last legislature. He's going to look at this issue of about how we pick our judges in Texas. And also, of course, former Chief Justice of Texas Supreme Court, Wallace Jefferson. Mr. Chief Justice, thank you for joining us on The Source. He's now with the law firm Alexander DuBose and Townsend. This is The Source on KSTX. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.